Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, family? Thank you again for hanging out with me for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And you guys know, before I start every single episode, I always like to take a few moments right up front to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is inspired, motivated, and encouraged to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you guys again for hanging out with me. And listen, you know, every time I bring on a guest to the show, I always bring nothing but the fire, and this week is nothing less. This week's guest is the human beatbox genius. I've been following this dude for a minute on social media. He just blows my mind every time I see him do his thing. And ladies and gentlemen, he's an entrepreneur. He's been on multiple TV shows, radio interviews, traveling the world. Man, this guy, listen, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcoming my boy, my brother, Sean Roig. What's going on, my man?
What's up, Wepa? I appreciate the dope introduction. Just taking it one day at a time, man. You know, we're blessed to be living life, and we're blessed to be here in this moment. So I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. So when I first saw you online, you know, I was like, wow, this guy's incredible. And then when I started following you and I found out that you was Puerto Rican and that you was from the Bronx, New York, my hometown, I was like, man, I got to connect with this dude and get this guy on the show, man. So listen, what I always like to do is, you know, a lot of times people following you now, they see that, you know, The Rock is sharing your material, you know, you got Under Armour, all of these companies sharing your material. You know, you're doing some big things, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't always like that. So just give people a little bit like behind the scenes, or just a little history of, you know, how you grew up, where you came from, and what led you to becoming the beatbox genius.
Right. So pretty much, man, this goes way back. We're going to go on a little DeLorean with the time machine now. So with that being said, you know, I grew up in poverty. And, you know, I come from humble beginnings, in which, like, you know, when you wanted something out of life, you had to grind for it. There was no YouTube or anything that matter. And however you want to put it, where it was such nowadays, you know, you turn on something with YouTube and it's so easy to learn, whether it be singing, cooking, beatboxing, anything of that matter. So with that being said, one day my brother played a cassette tape for me of Dougie Fresh, who's a pioneer of the beatbox. And he asked me, he was like, yo, can you do that? And I was like, do what? He's like, that guy's beatboxing. He's doing that with his vocals. I was like, really? So he had me listening to it, and me not intentionally knowing I can mimic the beatbox, it just happened. And I just like blurted out the beat, like, you know, saying we just started like having fun with it. Mind you, I was only 9 years old at the time. So he heard that, he like bugged out. He wanted to take me downstairs to show me off to the neighborhood. And everybody started having this crazy reaction. Like, what the heck? You got like a radio inside you or something? So with that being said, you know, as the years prospered on, I started taking sound a little bit more seriously, you know, traveling on the streets of New York. It's like one musical score, if you really pay attention, from the subways to, you know, walking in Lower Manhattan and even the Bronx, of that matter. Then I started hearing like Michael Winslow from Police Academy. I had a mentor by the name of Kenny Muhammad, who pretty much took me under his wing, elevated my craft to the next level, and was like, yo, this is how you do it. This is how you, you know, you break down these different techniques. And then I started doing off-Broadway shows and things that matter. And then before you know it, I started touring with Alicia Keys at the age of 16. And that was a blessing. We got to tour the United States as well as Canada and things that matter. So me, you know, being that young to experience something at such a young age was definitely something that I would never forget and never take for granted. And I'm always humbled by it when I think back on it. And, you know, I'm just appreciative to be here through, though we're going through difficult times, but you always got to make the most of it and be happy that God bless you here on earth.
Yeah, man, that's an awesome journey. I saw one of the clips when you was on Rachel Ray with Maury Povich, and man, you was looking mad young, bro.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, the grind, it's crazy, man. And me with the beatbox, like, I didn't even know, like I said, this was something that just like came by accident, so to say. And you know, like I said, I've always been infatuated with sound. Like I grew up watching cartoons like Transformers and things that matter. So I always incorporate that as well into my routines of things that matter, you know?
That's one of my favorite ones that you do. Every time I hear you do the Optimus Prime voice, I'm like, yes, I got it. Like, you got it on lock, man. That's awesome, man.
He's great. That's Peter Cullen. Peter Cullen is the actual voice of Optimus Prime, in which I had the honor to meet 2-3 times. And every time I met him, I got to show him, like, my name is Optimus Prime. He'll be like, oh, I can start bugging out and stuff like that. So to have like the co-sign by him was like so amazing, you know?
Now his voice, was that his original voice or was that like?
No, that's him. That's like, the thing is, the first day I met him, I mean, this was like the second time I met him, my bad. So the second time I met him, because the first time I was a little bit overwhelmed, my emotions got the best of me. So the second time I met him, I was like, look, man, I said, I didn't get to do for you what I wanted the first time I met you. You know, I'm a little bit nervous now. And he spoke in his voice and he was like, calm down, you're going to do it. Like in the Optimus voice. So it's him. That is all him. Voice. Like,
yeah, yes, that's 100%. His real voice. You know, because you hear something like that and, you know, it's in a big studio movie, you know, movie production. You think that they probably put like some auto tune on it or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact that that's his real voice, that's crazy.
Yeah, bro. It's even better in person because, like, you know, me, like, you know, seeing this guy, you know, watching the cartoons as a kid, when I seen him, I didn't see him, I saw Optimus. So it was crazy for me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, you know, growing up in the Bronx, growing up in poverty, what was your mindset like, you know, from how you grew up to where you are now, knowing that there's unlimited possibilities for you when you really tap into your skills and your talents and your gifts?
Right. Well, it just pretty much goes to show, you know, never take anything for granted, because as easy as you can have everything today, it can be gone tomorrow. So I've always had that mindset, you know, growing up in poverty and being where I'm at today. And, you know, I just count my blessings and, you know, I just grind. And, you know, I always look at it like I always have kind of have the mindset when I'm working on something, or whether it be on music or in the gym or anything that matter, I always got the mindset like there is no tomorrow. So it's like, you have to grind and really work your behind off if you really want something in life. And, you know, because sometimes I feel like when we tend to grind, we sometimes take it for granted, but like, oh, I'll just finish it tomorrow. I'll just do it later. And it's like, that's the procrastination. And, you know, with procrastination, nothing really gets accomplished. So with that being said, I just like to live each day to the fullest and just take it from there.
Yeah. I like to say procrastination is the enemy of progress.
Oh my God. Tell me about it. I mean, I'm not one to say like I never procrastinate, but it's like it's bit me in the behind at times and stuff like that. So I try not to, you know, let that get the best of me.
Yeah. I think we've all been there. I think we've all been there at one point or another. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, what I wanted to ask you too was that I grew up on hip hop. You know, I'm from the Bronx. That's like hip hop hometown, right? Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick, Fat Boys, you know, there was one, Chris Markie D and all of them. So I used to beatbox too when I was younger, but man, when I seen you do it, I'm like, wow, this guy is next level. Where was the turning point for you where you was like, man, I can actually turn this into a business?
Right. I mean, I never knew it was going to be a business. That's the thing. Like, until like I started getting like all these emails and then people hitting me up, and then you got, you know, Alicia Keys wanted me to tour with her and stuff like that. That's when I knew. I would definitely say, if I had to pick, it would probably be like around like 15, 16. That's when I started touring with Alicia Keys. So it was like, yo, like, this is something that's like really going to be a big center of my life. You know, musicality at its finest, which is, and hip hop at its rawest form, which is the beatbox. So I just knew ever since the early age. And then ever since then, like I said, I just started mastering other sounds and learning other things, learning more musicality to like even blend in with a band and, you know, learn how to like, you know, be on beat. Cause a lot of people, you know, you could do the beatbox. A lot of people, when they do beats and stuff, they kind of fall off, or it's like, it's not really on rhythm and stuff like that. So I started mastering that and things that I matter. So yeah, man, ever since the early age, about 15, 16, for sure.
You definitely have to have a sound for that, because when I was younger, I used to be a DJ when I was like, I think 15 years old. My mom bought me my first DJ equipment set. Right. And I went from DJing to producing music, then to rapping. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very familiar with that sound. So when you talk about people, sometimes they start on beat, but then they fall off. Like, I'm quick to hear that. Like, I tell my wife sometimes that like when we're listening to music or we're in a place where there's a DJ, I'm like, oh, you hear that? He's about to drop another song coming in. I can hear him blending it in. So that music and that sound is very important when you're into the, you know, when you're into the music niche.
Yeah, and there's, I'm pretty sure you can agree to the sometimes with DJs, they'll be playing a banging song, then all of a sudden they slow it down like out of nowhere. It's like, yo, what the heck's going on? Keep that rhythm.
Yeah. Kill the DJ.
Yeah. Oh, bro, I've experienced that so many times. Like, if DJ got the party rocking, then he throws out something super random, and it's like everybody's like, yo, what the heck is this? You know?
Yeah. It's crazy. What was one of your favorite? Or because I'm pretty sure you have plenty. I mean, I've seen you've done some amazing things, but what was like one of your most favorite or your most memorable performances, or in front of who?
Oh man, I will honestly say, just thinking off the top, I would say when I was performing in Tokyo, Japan, the reason why I say it's the most memorable is because it was the most, how can I say this? It wasn't the experience I was expecting. So what I mean by that is I'm going off, like the sound system is one of the most amazing sound systems I ever had. And I'm just killing it. But the thing is, when I'm doing my thing, the crowd's just quiet. So I'm here thinking like, yo, am I not doing something right? But come to my understanding and come to find out later on, they didn't clap until the very end because they want to appreciate everything. They do not make any noise whatsoever. So by the end of my performance, when I stopped finally, they knew and they all stood up and it was a standing ovation and everybody was going crazy because they want to appreciate all the little details. They don't want to interrupt anything. They want to hear everything. And they, like I said, they want to appreciate everything.
Yeah.
So I will honestly say that was one of my most like crazy and memorable experiences, just thinking off the top, because, you know, a lot of places where I go to, like as soon as I get started, everybody's like, ah, like everybody loses their mind. Everybody goes crazy. And, you know, I feed off that energy.
Yeah.
But to know the simple fact that their culture is like, they just want to appreciate everything. I was so humbled by it. I was like, wow, this is so dope. And I had to learn the hard way with that too, because I went to the movie theater and I'm a huge fan of Godzilla. So when I went to go see Godzilla, I'm the one making noise. And I was with my translator at the time. He's like, no, you got to wait to the end. Like, you can't be making any noise right now. And I was like, oh snap, my bad, I remember. So that would be one of my most memorable experiences, performing at Tokyo, Japan, as well as performing at Madison Square Garden, of course, for the Knicks games and stuff like that. That was super dope to be.
It's like a dream come true from somebody from the Bronx.
Absolutely. Be performing in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. I mean, the list goes on who's performed there. I'm pretty sure you know of. And yeah, man.
That's dope, man. That's crazy how you think about it when you go to other cultures, how they respond and react to different situations. So I can imagine you're doing your thing, and in the middle of doing your thing, you're probably like a little discouraged, like, yo, what the heck is going on? Like you said, am I not, like, you're not feeling me right now? Like, what's good?
Yo, I was like, yo, what the heck? Am I not doing the snares right? What's going on? I'm like blazing. I'm doing like, I'm taking all the rabbits out of the hats, like all these tricks. I'm doing all these things and stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like I said, to the very end, when I fully stopped, I bowed. Everybody was like, ah, standing ovation. I was like, oh, okay, they liked it.
Yeah. So did you always have, did you always have breath control, or that's something that you developed over time as well? Or like even cotton mouth? Because I know when you beatbox, sometimes your mouth gets dry real quick.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that's like, it was like second nature. I started learning throughout the years, different breathing techniques and things that I matter. So it's like, and it's also through the techniques of when I'm beatboxing, like there's certain sounds that I'm doing, you don't realize it, but I'm breathing at the same time and stuff like that. So that's helped out so much along the way as well.
Yeah, I'll be studying you, bro. I'll be watching. I'm like, yo, when is this guy breathing, bro?
Yeah, bro. Sometimes, like I said, like you won't realize, but like this, like I said, there's certain sounds or there's different sprinkles that I'll add on to the beat. That it's like, you know, it's the illusion of what I'm doing, but I'm like breathing, I'm doing this, I'm pacing myself and I'm taking my time and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's all about having fun with it and, you know, just not taking yourself so serious, having fun.
That's super dope, man. And, you know, not for nothing, man, I got to give you props, bro, because it was in following you that you kind of gave me a little social media hack. I started seeing like what you were doing and then how you would tag the different individuals. And then you would tell your audience like, yo, tag them in the low, spam them, like tag, so you can get their attention. Right. And I was like, yo, that's genius, bro. Like to get these bigger corporations and people's attention. So I started incorporating that. Like when I'm somewhere and I'm doing something or I'm wearing a shirt or a hat or whatever, I'm tagging those companies because you never know who might be able to see it and be like, oh, wow, this guy's amazing. Let's reach out to him.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I look at it like you have one chance to advance. So why not take the opportunity and just do something as small as that, like a simple tag or whatever, and have you want to put it, or have your following tag whoever and things that matter. Because look at me, for example, with The Rock, I didn't even expect that to happen. You get what I'm saying? That was just something I was like, you know, in the dark. I didn't know if I was going to hit the target or not when I was shooting my shot. And, you know, the magic just pretty much happened. And, you know, when I was doing the whole thing, I wanted to do something I felt like I was going to connect with him on a personal level. And like the first video I did, which was called Mana, the Mana Beatbox.
Yeah.
Mana is something that has to do a lot with his culture and things that matter and however you want to put it. So when I did that, it was just like I said, I was, yo, tag him, X, Y, and Z, this, that, and the third. And I didn't even realize till one day I was actually working out and I just see the notification, but I thought like it was a fan page or something like that. You get what I'm saying? And I didn't really think that like my following was going to like help get that attention from somebody as, you know, iconic as The Rock. And sure enough.
And then you started blowing up. Then your IGs was blowing up like crazy. Yeah.
Oh man, it was so dope, man. And it's not only once, he shot at me out twice.
I know,
so
I saw that.
That was the really like, you know, humbling thing to see as well, to know like, you know, Instagram has even a reach like that, or even to say like, you know, I was able to catch his attention of something like that. Cause you know, The Rock's busy. He has like over 300 and some million followers, and to see like The Rock is rocking, no pun intended, with me.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's so dope, man. It's so humbling. It just made me want to like just work even harder and just, you know, have fun.
And I love your creativity with it, because you actually even get like in like costume. Like I see you did like you wear his gear. I seen you did one for Jurassic Park. You had the whole sweatsuit with the hoodie on and everything.
Yeah.
Like you put everything a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, everything I do, it has to be sincere to me and from the heart. I've never been one to just like do something just because, or just for attention or for likes. It has to be something that resonates with me as a person. And like I said, it has to come from the heart. So everything you see me that I put out, I feel like it's like a piece of art, and it comes from me, and like, it has to do something with my background and how I grew up, or something that I'm truly, truly passionate about. So when I'm sharing it, this is something, like I said, it's just straight from the heart.
So you go to a studio, I'm assuming in New York, to record all your stuff?
Yes. Well, mainly a big majority of my recordings, I record it here, like in my house and stuff like that. And I record it here and I'll send it back to my great friend. His name is Darren Ross, who pretty much does all the EQing for me ever since I was younger and stuff like that. He's like one of the very few people I trust with my sound. And if you go to a lot of my videos, you see that I tag him. His EQing is phenomenal. And pretty much I'll send him my recording. He'll tweak it up, make sure all the little details are to be able to be heard, you know, from what it is I do. And I'm such a huge fan of sound, and I take it very serious. And, you know, because I want people to appreciate those details and to really pick it up and be inspired by it. So like I said, I send the sound to Darren Ross, he EQs it, and that's where the magic happens.
That's dope. Yeah. Is there anybody that you haven't collaborated with yet or worked with that you would like to, that you're waiting for them to reach out to you and connect with you?
I mean, we were just speaking about, I would love to personally, like in person, do something with The Rock. and I feel it'll happen. I'm just putting the energy out there. I feel like it could be something that it's like, you know, something that could be really super, super cool. Like we could do a skit together or something like that. Cause you know, I really see that happening, and I could definitely see it being super fun and something that the people would appreciate.
Yeah, I think that would be a good synergy with you and him, cause he's a jokester too. He likes having
exactly.
fun, having a good time and playing around.
Exactly. Right.
That'd be dope. Now, as far as somebody as whose attention you haven't gotten yet that you would like to get their attention, who would that be?
Oh man, who would that be? Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Oh, that's a hard Jay-Z. One.
Jay-Z, that's a hard because for the simple fact that like he is hip hop. As soon as I think of hip hop, he's one of the first people I think of. And there's so many beats that I do in my shows, and just as a beatboxer, that, you know, or because of him, you know, because I'm doing the Jay-Z beats and stuff like that. So, you know, me doing those and seeing the crowd reactions I get, I know for a fact that like, if he was to hear it, he will lose his mind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, to maybe possibly, you know, because I've seen him do stuff with The Roots before, and
yeah,
you know, he had like the beatboxer in the background and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, that's hip hop at its truest form, which is the beatbox and rapping. So it's like, you know, I never put no endless, you know, possibilities into what it is I do. So I'm like, yo, I'm going to reach for the fences. I'm going to go all the way out there. Let's make it happen. You know,
heck
so
yeah.
Jay-Z, I mean, there's so many other people as well, but, you know, just thinking of, as a hip hop aspect, definitely Jay-Z. And I would love to work with somebody like, of course, like Steve Aoki. You know, he's with the whole EDM world, in which he has shouted out one of my videos before. I did a whole thing of like a mashup of different beats with his and the violin and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all a matter of timing right now, especially in like now that things are coming back to, you know, kind of like somewhat of a normalcy. So it's like, you know, it feels good for that to be happening because a lot of doors are opening up now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's dope, man. That's awesome, man. Yeah, Steve Aoki's fire. Jay-Z, I would love to see something with you and him, like just like you performing somewhere with him and you doing the beatbox and he just spitting bars on top of that.
I'm telling you, man, it'll be like, so like lit. I'll break it down like there's no tomorrow, man. It'll be so awesome.
Like the new version of Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick.
Right.
That'll be super dope, man. So I saw that you give, I don't know if you give classes or not, but I saw that like on your page on Instagram, you actually like break down some of the like the snares or the kick or like the different sounds that you make, and you actually like give like a little mini tutorial. Do you have like a program where you actually teach people how to beatbox?
At the moment, but I always get a ton of people hitting me up like, hey, can you teach me, can you do this? So that's why I do like little videos like that from time to time. And you know, I got a lot more in the works that I'll be doing like that I'll be dropping throughout the year. But yeah, it's just a matter of like, you know, how serious you want to take it. And if you're willing to learn, I'm always open to like teaching somebody like the basics or the foundation so they could just take it from there and, you know, elevate.
Yeah. Might be something you could think about, like even doing like a digital form, like an online course where you don't have to do it live. You can just create it and then people could purchase it. That might be something that a lot of these young folks and even old folks, man, you know, like me, I'll probably check something like that out and try to try it again. Cause I like that. I love that type of stuff. I'm like, I'm hip hop all the way. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Well, yo, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you say you beatbox. I want to hear something, man.
All right. Let me see. You know, a little sound like that, you know what I mean?
Yo, you have me go. I'm about to jump in.
Yeah. I got a little sound, you know what I mean? Now, I wanted to actually, I was going to actually ask you to do a little something. I know you did a little something in the beginning, but I was going to see if you could do a little something towards the end also to just kind of bless my audience with what you got as well.
We go now. You want me to blaze it?
Yeah, go ahead, blaze it.
All right, here we go. So, you know, the breakdown, I'll start you off. Snare. Hi-hat. We got the kick drum. Now we add those all together. Check it out.
Dope.
What? Cool.
Yeah, man. For those of you that are tuning in, where can people, you know, if they want to reach out to you? I mean, I know, but for the people that are listening or maybe watching this, where can they reach out to you? Do you have a website or your social media? Let people know where they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, sure. It's simple. You just look up my name, Beatbox Genius, or you could type in my name, my full name, which is Sean, S-H-A-U-N, my last name Roig, R-O-I-G, as in Godzilla.
So yeah, listen, man, I wanna before we turn the corner here, I just wanted to I always like to ask this question to all of my guests before we turn the corner. If there's somebody out there, you know, because the podcast is I Won't Stop Until I Win, right? I like bringing on guests who have an amazing story, who have done some amazing things that are making impact and making a difference and a change in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I always like to ask this question to all of my guests, because I believe there's always somebody watching or listening to this program that may be feeling down and out, maybe feeling defeated, maybe feeling like giving up, maybe feeling like they're not good enough, right? I know what that feels like. And what would you tell that person listening or watching right now who maybe they know they have a skill or a talent or a gift, they don't know how to maybe, you know, craft it or utilize it to the best of their ability? What would you tell them to encourage them to not stop until they win?
Look, it all comes down to how bad you really want it. And what I mean by that is, you know, like I was saying earlier, you could have it all today and it could be all gone tomorrow. So it's all about your dedication, your drive, and your goals at the end of the day. So in life, I always looked at it like you're either the champ or you're the chump. So always have that mindset in which who it is you want to be. And I'm pretty sure you don't want to be a chump. Be the champ that you are, Always know you're special and you have greatness within you, and have fun.
That's what's up, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right from the horse's mouth. My man, Sean Roig, the beatbox genius. Follow him on Instagram or any social media at his name, Sean Roig. I follow him and he just dropped a new one. So go ahead and check that out. And any final words you want to leave with the people?
Just thank you so much, Jose. You know, you're a true inspiration. I really respect what you do. And, you know, once again, to you, you're special. You have greatness within you and keep taking it to the next level.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores. And make sure you visit me at joseinspires.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week. So make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.